And I'll bring up the script, so whenever you're ready.
All right, wonderful. Good evening, everyone. I'm calling this Back Bay Architectural Commission public hearing to order at 5:01 p.m. on March 8th, 2023. You may participate in this hearing by going to our Zoom meeting link and our agenda posted online at http://www.boston.gov/publicnotices/1596684/1 or by calling 301-715-8592 and entering ID 963-5569-3471 # You may also submit written comments or questions to backbayac@boston.gov. In accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, we're conducting this hearing online. To ensure public access to the deliberations of the Back Bay Architectural Commission, the public may access this call through telephone and video conferencing. Members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you may press *9 to raise your hand. Or you may send your questions to staff via email at backbayac@boston.gov. Public comments will be limited to 2 minutes per person and should be focused on a project's exterior architectural features, which include landscaping. Issues related to use, street traffic, and noise are outside of the commission's purview. Joe, did you want to take...
Yes, yes. And before I do roll call, I'll just say, most importantly, we're happy to welcome 3 new members to our commission. We have Tom High, who will be a member from the Neighborhood Association of the Back Bay, Andy Champaterra, who will be an alternate for the Neighborhood Association of the Back Bay, and Tanvi Nair, who is an alternate from the mayor's office. So welcome to you all, and the rest of the roll call I will take. We have Kathy Connor, Genia Dimitriadis, John Christensen, Robert Weintraub, and I think David Sampson, are you here?
Yeah, I am here.
Ah, great. Okay. And I think that's everyone.
Great. Okay. So let's get our first application on the agenda. 349 Marlborough Street, application 23.0640. Is there someone here from 349 Marlborough Street, please?
I think Rebecca Mark.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Great.
Rebecca?
I'm here.
Wonderful. And we'll have Joe actually go through the staff notes, and then the floor will be yours.
All right. Staff notes that 349 Marlborough Street is a 4-story brick row house that was built in 1872 as one of 11 contiguous houses by George Martin Gibson. Staff approved the removal of the helianthus tree on February 10th, 2023, due to the fact that it was dead and causing damage to surrounding property. The applicant prefers not to plant a replacement tree, citing that there is no room. The previous tree was located in a planter. The Garden Club of the Back Bay has been consulted on this project and recommends that the helianthus tree be replaced with a honey locust of a 2.5 inch to 3.5 inch caliper, given the small size of the planter. And staff recommends approval with the proviso that a honey locust tree be planted as recommended by the Garden Club. So I will show, and we have Susanna Gaspar is just about to join us as well. But here is the stump of where the tree was growing. And I shared the arborist report with all of you. So with that, Rebecca, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. And thanks for hearing from us. We did get a report from the arborist saying that it would be extremely difficult to plant a tree there. And the reasons are multiple. One is that in order to even get the stump dug out from this tree, which by the way, wasn't planted by us, it was a stray tree that sort of, you know, a wild sort of growth seed, something just started there and nobody ever cut it down, but it wasn't an intentional planting on our part. the roots are really deep and they go towards the foundation and they go underneath the brick wall that you see there and into the parking lot. So in order to create the room to put another tree in there, those roots have to be dug out. And that means taking the brick wall down, excavating the parking lot and that planter, and finding somebody who can hand dig these roots out of the ground. The arborists don't do that kind of work. I've never hired anybody to do that kind of work. I've pursued it before for another situation and had no luck finding anybody who could do it. So it's difficult, and it's also sort of, it's so close to that building that it's bound to provide problems. And you can see the next door, right next door to that location, is a glass atrium for the next door property. So having a tree right there, one of these branches fell down and broke that glass. It wasn't a good situation. I understand a new type of tree might not do that, but we're in very tight space there, and we just don't see a way to do this.
Thank you. Commissioners, any comments?
Yeah, I agree with her that a tree in this location is not appropriate.
And I disagree too with her. As I understand it, if the roots are hand dug, which is not an unusual thing, it just may, certain arborists don't do it, others do, that a honey locust would in fact be an appropriate tree in that location. You might have to adjust the, or take down part of the planter wall when you're doing the digging. But my understanding is that it is perfectly feasible to do. And I believe, and Joe could correct me on this, but I believe there have been other situations quite similar to this where the commission has concluded that since it is feasible, it's consistent with the commission's longstanding policies that the tree be replaced.
Rebecca, if you don't put a tree in there, are you just gonna let the stump sit and as it is?
We've gotten a quote from the arborist to cut it as close to the base of the ground as they can. And what you also don't see is there are twin stumps there where that ivy is climbing up. There's another stump that's about 4 feet high, and they could only get down to that part because the brick wall's in the way. It's really tight space.
Joe, could you zoom in a little for us, please?
So yeah, there's a low part and a high part. They were able to cut it low because they had the room, but the high part they could not. So you're talking about having to dismantle the planter just to cut the stump down to the ground level anyway, because they can't get their equipment in there. But we have a quote to do that, and we're willing to do that. It's just the root system's extensive.
How wide is the planter?
3 feet wide, something like that. 3 to 4 feet.
Are you talking the length of it? It doesn't look 3 feet wide. It looks maybe 3 feet long.
Sorry.
Are you talking about the length of it being 3 feet? The width doesn't look 3 feet.
Well, you tell me. I'm just doing it by eye.
Looks like it's 3 by 2, just judging by the picnic
table. Yeah. That sounds about right.
Rebecca, would there be an opportunity to do other plantings in there? If a tree is not something that's appealing to you, even though it was a recommendation, would you be able to do other sorts of plantings in there to add some green?
Oh, sure. I mean, this is a private patio, and you know that owner certainly wants to have something pretty in there. And I think she would put ivy or flowers, you know.
Yeah, I'm kind of inclined to agree with Robert. I mean, the tree to me doesn't seem like it fits there very well, especially given the glass greenhouse thing next to it.
Joe, do we have, I know we normally take a motion first, but do we have information from the garden club that would be helpful in this?
Yes, yes. And they have recommended the honey locust tree and removing the stump and the roots, which would probably require, dismantling the planter and then recreating the planter.
But that's going to be, the planter's going to be dismantled anyway in order to cut the roots down, I think is what the applicant said. Is that correct?
That's my understanding, that they're going to have to do something to be able to get really close to that tall stump, because it's right in the corner where the brick wall is. And I wasn't even clear whether some of the brick wall had to come down just to do that. And the building might not opt to do it, to be quite honest. I mean, it's expensive to do, and planting ivy on top of this might be the way to go. And over time, it'll decay. I don't know. We haven't made a decision on that. But it's more than, when you get down to the root level, you're having to take the brick wall down because the roots go under the brick wall. They go into the parking lot area. And then,
I'm not sure this is the right place to have a tree.
No, it's not. And any insurance company that looks at this is going to say no tree.
Yeah.
I'll make you cut it down.
As much as I love trees, right?
Yeah.
I love trees. You got to have them here in the back bay. But as much as I love them, I don't think this is the right place for it. I think this was just a rogue tree that happened to die.
Yeah. That was an Atlantis tree. All right. I'm ready to make a motion.
Okay. Well, let's go to public comment. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you may press *9 to raise your hand, or you may send your questions to staff via email at backbayac@boston.gov. Public comment will be limited to 2 minutes per person and should be focused on the project's exterior architectural features, which include landscaping. Issues related to use, street traffic, and noise are outside of the commission's purview. Do we have any public comment?
Yep. Sue Prindle?
I'm just a little confused why there are two stumps in there. Have there been two trees removed? Because it looks to me like the original planter was built for the larger tree, which seems to have been substantial, and who knows what happened to that one.
It was the same tree. It was a tree with a split.
Ah.
Okay. Yeah.
So you took them both off at the same time?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure that I agree that you need to get rid of all the roots that are underneath the wall there. I think you could probably just take out what's in the planter.
It's quite possible. We had an initial discussion about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nonetheless, I think, the brick wall will be affected. That was pretty clear to me that they'd have to do something with the brick wall, which.
Yeah. Is there any other place in that patio where you could put a tree?
It's all the same depth, and it amounts to sort of the same problem. You just don't have a lot of room back there.
But you could put it further away from the greenhouse in another corner, couldn't you?
Sure. And it's still very, very tight in there. Actually, on the right-hand side, it's somewhat difficult because there's a gate to get into the back of the building.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think the problem that I'm seeing is that there's a lot, we've lost a lot of trees in that alley. It looks very sparse, and this is sort of the last remaining green thing that you can see. So I'd like to see something given back to the neighbors if you're going to in fact remove this. Some way of presenting green on the outside so it looks a little less bricky.
Yeah, I mean, maybe ivy. I mean, I think that they'd be interested in making it look good back there.
Mm-hmm.
I just think a tree is, as other people have pointed out, it's just not a good place for a tree.
Maybe the garden club could recommend some type of ivy that would take the place of this, the height of the tree, that can maybe crawl up the brick and around the side and make it look nice.
I'm not sure we want to encourage ivy crawling up the brick.
I don't think you do.
That would go on to, Sue, you're all set. We'll move on to Margaret.
Yeah, I am, thanks.
Thank you, Sue. Margaret.
Yeah, I'm representing the Garden Club. And I just first want to welcome the new commissioners. We look forward to working with you in the same way we have been working with the commission for the last several years. We have two suggestions on how this might, two options as to how this might be done. We did find, we did contact Cambridge Landscape, which is the company that does the work on the mall and on the public garden and in the common. And they are able to hand dig the stump if that is an option that is acceptable. They could probably do that without dismantling the planter. The roots would only need to be removed up to the beginning of the brick wall. The brick wall would not have to be disturbed. And another tree could be planted as recommended by our arborist, Norm Healy, the seedless honey locust. That's option one. Option two would be to remove the planter, which was clearly put in as an afterthought anyway. This ailanthus, as has been pointed out, is a volunteer. It was not planted in that planter. So the planter could be dismantled. The tree roots could be removed, possibly by some mechanical means of like grinding, because the access to the stump would be clearer. If the planter were not replaced, another tree could be planted at grade, not in a planter, but at grade with just a simple curb around the tree pit. In that case, it would be possible to move the actual planting a little bit farther from the greenhouse, center it a little bit more in that corner so it's not so tight up against the wall, and it would certainly survive. Honey locusts are very, very tough trees. They survive in actual circumstances that are even more not as good as this one. So I think it would be an option that should be considered. This was a significant tree in this alley, and it's a great loss to the canopy in the alley to not replant. Thank you. I'd be happy to answer any other questions about these options.
Thank you, Margaret.
Great. Janice Dolnick.
Yes, hi, thank you. I am an abutter. I live at 341, 343 Marlborough Street, two doors down from where the tree was removed. And I just want to reiterate the importance of replanting a tree. Either one of the two suggestions of the Garden Club would be great. The loss of this tree is definitely a huge loss to the entire alley. As Sue pointed out, this alley has very few mature trees. In fact, we have only one left. And we have, I think, a total of 5 trees in the alley compared to about 17 or 18 on the 2 adjacent alleys. So we happen to be fortunate to have a balcony out on the alley. We look out towards this tree or whatever tree is remaining. So it's a huge loss to have lost this tree. And we feel it's really important that it be replaced. Thank you very much.
All right. And Lori Thomas.
Hi, everyone. I'd like to welcome the new commissioners as well. I'd like to talk a little bit about the tree that was in the alley before. It was 70 feet tall. It was a volunteer. And I live at 348 Marlborough Street, so I could actually see it waving in the wind over the roof of this building. The kind of tree that we're talking about is a much smaller tree, much more appropriate for the close quarters in which it would be. It also has what Norm Healy told me are opportunistic roots, which means they will pose no problem to the foundation or any other built structure. They seek water. He told me that he has seen roots like this go 30 feet and like go around a building towards a meadow where there was wetlands. So he thinks it's a perfect tree for this situation. I'd also like to say that if we had to get rid of all the trees in this neighborhood that were this close to buildings for insurance purposes, we would not have very many trees left at all. This is a pretty standard location for this sort of tree. And of course, I agree with Margaret that if the planter could be removed, it would be a much less expensive and difficult task to remove enough of the roots to give a new tree a chance to grow. You certainly don't need to excavate many more beyond the depth of the planter. But if it were in the ground, it would be an even happier tree. Thank you.
And Lori, I included the photo. Is there anything you wanted to say about the photo you emailed?
No, this is, I took this photo so you can see how grim this alley is looking right now. There are a couple of other volunteer ailanthus, including one that's actually behind Hereford Street, and some other trees that are planted as, about as close to their buildings as this one that go about two stories high. So I think that's really all we're asking for here. We're not asking for another super giant, dangerous kind of tree. We're looking for something that, that would be appropriate for the canopy here. So thank you.
Joe, may I ask a question?
Yes, Tom.
This is either for Joe or for the Garden Club, I think. Am I not correct that we've had several other situations that are quite similar, where we've had a constricted area in the back of a house, and the commission has, in each of those cases, required that a replacement tree of a species that was appropriate be installed to replace a previous tree that had that was going to be or was taken out?
I know that there were, I can't think of specific properties, and I'm happy to unmute, if Margaret or Lori want to mention, but I know there have been situations where the commission has ruled that there was not a need to replace something, a tree, because of some kind of constraint. And, you know, I know there had been issues of trees that were too close to buildings, and, you know, we'd have an engineer's report that would come in, but I can't tell you a specific property.
Yeah, because in this situation, it strikes me that we've got a very, you know, it's a constrained location, but we've got a very clear plan where the tree can be replaced safely. And I think that distinguishes it from the ones that you're talking about and makes it similar to the many trees that the commission has required be installed.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, go right ahead, Ann.
So I have a question. Does it have to be replaced exactly where the location is? Is it possible to move a few feet a little bit away, based on my understanding from all the different, people suggested the honey locust might be a smaller frame, and could that be planted a little bit away so that it will also eliminate the need to grind the trees and remove the root? Is there something that could be done, or this is not, historically being approved to do?
It sounds from the information from the Garden Club that that is possible.
Sort of what they're suggesting, isn't it?
Yes, I think it is. Rebecca had a question. Do one of the two options that the Garden Club proposed, do one of those two options work for you, the building?
They're talking about a locust tree, or what was the other option?
He said that the landscape company could come in and hand dig.
Right.
And they can put the locust honey tree in, and you wouldn't need much room than what you have there now.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Lori and Margaret.
Yeah, Lori and Margaret, if you want to respond to that, you'd need to unmute yourself. But to summarize what Margaret had said, there were, you know, two options, and one to me sounded like it was to replant in the existing area or to plant at grade at another location near.
Well, I think it was
near the planter.
Maybe Margaret could repeat. I think it was to take the planter out and plant near that, but a little further away from the wall and the existing stump. Is Margaret still there?
Lori? The one that I found intriguing was all they had to do was hand dig the roots of the stump out, and then they could plant the tree.
Well, I think the preferable option really is to remove the planter entirely, remove the stump, and plant the new tree at grade without replacing the planter. I mean, that would, in that case, the stem of the new tree could be moved farther away from the wall, out of the corner a little bit, so that it wouldn't be so crowded. the open canopy of the honey locust is a much different, it's a much different structure than these old ailanthus trees. So it would be an enhancement to the alley. It would be a replacement, but in my opinion, although I think the stump could be hand dug, leaving the planter, I think it is preferable to remove the planter and change the whole arrangement. It would be healthier for the new tree as well.
It might be less expensive too.
And it'd be a lot less expensive. Hand digging a stump like this is not cheap.
No, I do know this from having looked into it before. It's, you know, we've already spent thousands of dollars on removing the tree, and we're talking about masonry work and hand digging, and you know, I mean, this is I sort of come back to it's a small private patio. I mean, I'm sure that the person who owns this patio doesn't want the tree to come into the patio so that she won't have much room in that patio. The reason she had a lot of room before is because the trunk was long and skinny. It didn't take up much room. This sounds like a lower tree. I don't know. It just seems like it's going to take up some room. So the building's preference is not to have this expense and not to have a tree that's basically so close to the building, it's going to impede that owner. It's going to grow very close to the back of the building and the windows. And it's very tight space.
Joe, I thought I saw another public comment, but did someone withdraw their hand?
Yeah, there was a Leslie who had their hand raised. Leslie, did you want to?
Oh yes, Leslie, there you are.
I find her. Okay, Leslie.
Yes, hi, I'm Leslie Brand. I raised my hand just to make a comment in reference that, so I'm the owner of the patio and I went to speak, but Rebecca actually spoke the thoughts that I had. It is a very tight space back there, as you can see. So moving the tree to another location pretty much takes the patio out, and I bought the property with a patio. So moving that, and also I just want to make a correction. I did speak to the arborist. I was here when they came the other day. They do not need to remove the brick to level the stumps to a level in which you can no longer see the stumps. I just wanted to make that correction.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, is that it for public comment?
Yes, yep.
Great. Commissioners, do you have any other thoughts or comments on it?
Can you, if you remove the stump down to grade, can they then go ahead and plant the honey locust in the location where the old ailanthus nearby?
Yes, it can be planted in the same location.
If you take all of the roots out, you need to clear the roots.
Once the planter's gone, the removal of the roots becomes a much less problematic
chore. But if they don't move the planter, can they do it?
Yeah, they can do that too. But that, as we've said, that is a very expensive undertaking.
You have to dig down deep enough and get the roots out deep enough in order to provide new space for a new root ball, which can flourish. It's very tight.
Margaret, when you're talking about taking the planter box out, you're not talking about then moving the tree way into the into the patio. It's just a question of that removes that constraint, isn't that right?
Yes, it should. It would just be moved centered in the location sort of where the planter is now. This ailanthus is way over in the corner. The new tree could be planted somewhat to the right of where this stump is. You would only need to remove the roots below the level, below grade, about 12 to 16 inches to allow for the planting of the new tree. And as Laurie said, these honey locusts adapt to their situation quite nicely, no matter how difficult it is. And the new tree pit, which would then be at grade, could just be edged with a simple curb. It would actually make more of the patio available than the planter does.
It would.
David, Robert, and Genia, I know you were thinking that removing the tree was the solution. Do you have any other thoughts on that with this other evidence brought forward?
No, I still haven't changed my mind.
What did you say, Genia?
I still haven't changed my mind.
Yeah, I'm kind of tossed.
Robert, what about you?
Well, I have the motion. I mean, the application is for to remove a dead Atlantis tree, and it appears that it's already been removed. So my motion would be to affirm what's already been done and to work with the Back Bay Garden Club for a suitable replacement. And any alteration to the hardscape should also be, the Back Bay Garden Club should be consulted as well. So I think that the applicant has to come back with another application for whatever they decide to do after they've consulted with the Garden Club.
I'll second that.
Can I just clarify, are we saying then that the applicant does need to plant a tree or doesn't need to plant a tree? Or that it's going to come back either way?
It has to come back because the application is for at the rear yard, remove the dead Atlantis tree, which has already been done. So my motion is to approve that and to work with the Garden Club to come up with an amicable solution to this planter, whether it be modification of the existing planter to make it bigger, smaller, or any hardscape alteration. The Garden Club should be consulted and after which come back to the commission with a new plan, not only landscaping and hardscape if necessary.
I do have a suggestion, and this kind of leads to our next hearing item. It might make more sense to continue this then, and that's what we did with Zero Marlboro Street. We continued that application to give the applicant time to work with the Garden Club. So maybe, I think that would probably be an easier way to do this, especially the main issue had been that, this tree was a danger and it was causing
right
pretty damaged, and so that is done. So now we have time, I hopefully, that the owner and the building can meet with the Garden Club and come up with another kind of solution that we'll plant something in its place that's appropriate. Maybe it's not a honey locust tree, maybe there's something else, but I this would at least give them some more time to do that.
Good.
That's fine. But we also have to approve the removal of the dead Atlantis tree. Right, because it's already been removed.
Yeah, but I think it's just continuing.
An approval and continuance, or just a continuance.
Yeah, I would say just a continuance. I mean, the reason this application was presented, even though the tree was removed, was the fact that typically the commission requires a replacement tree. So, that was, the tree had to be removed. And, now the question is, do we want to require a replacement tree or something else in its place?
Okay, so my motion is to continue this application to give the applicant the opportunity to work with the Garden Club and come up with an amicable solution.
Seconded.
All right, I will read the roll call. Kathy Connor?
Yes.
Genia Dimitriadis?
Yes.
Tom High?
Yes.
Andy Champachera?
Yes.
John Christensen?
Yes.
Rob Weintraub?
Yes.
Tom B. Nayer?
Yes.
David Sampson?
Yes.
And Susanna Gaspar?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. So hopefully we'll see you next month.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to our next application.
Here we are.
Okay, and it is Zero Marlboro Street, aka 6 Arlington Street. Is there someone here for application 23.0522?
Yes, Jonathan Keep here representing.
Hi, Jonathan, and Joe's going to read the staff notes, then the floor will be yours.
Yep, and this is a continuance from last month. Staff notes that Zero Marlboro Street also was constructed in 1929 as a 10-story apartment building. In 2007, it was converted into 15 condominium units. At the February 8th, 2023 public hearing, the commission approved the hardscape features of the project and continued the planting plan with a directive that the applicant work with the Garden Club of the Back Bay to finalize an appropriate planting plan. Staff recommends approval, finding that the applicant has worked closely with the Garden Club of the Back Bay to develop the current plan that is appropriate for this area of the district. And I would just add, I think it's going to look very nice. So I'll turn it over to you, Jonathan.
Thank you, Joe. My name is Jonathan Keep. I'm a landscape designer working for the clients, Jeannie and Will Thorndike. I do want to thank the Garden Club of Back Bay and especially Susan Jaretsky for her help and generous amount of time she took in phone calls, follow-up emails, and you know what was most important was our site meeting together and a walk around the neighborhood as well. So. This revised plan shows more context than the previous plan. On the right side, we have the more public part of the garden with boxwood hedges and new hedges and existing trees with the trunks are shaded in. So we have an existing columnar beech and a sweet bay magnolia. On the left side, we have the garden area for the basement level apartment occupied by my clients. And so, you know, in our meetings, the Garden Club proposed plants that were rabbit resistant, shade tolerant, because on this left side, we have a large existing elm tree, as well as another columnar beech. We have proposed to add a stewardia behind the existing elm. That's a flowering tree that is shade tolerant, and an umbrella pine on the left side of the gateway. And we're also proposing to plant a butterfly magnolia at the corner of Arlington and Marlborough Street. We continue to have a hedge. On the street side, it would be 4 feet high, but the bed steps down from the street a foot. So on the garden side, it would be 5 feet, you know, giving the clients privacy when they're outside eating at a table or also in their apartment. And that hedge would be Ilex crinata, Japanese holly, which was recommended for being rabbit resistant and also shade tolerant. It's a nice evergreen holly that takes shearing well. So I'll just open it up to any questions.
Any comments, commissioners?
I'm ready to make a motion.
Okay, that was quick. All right, so let's move to public comment then. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you may press *9 to raise your hand, or you may send your questions to staff via email at backbayac@boston.gov. Public comment will be limited to 2 minutes per person and should be focused on a project's exterior architectural features, which include landscaping. Issues related to use, street traffic, and noise are outside of the commission's purview. Do we have any public comment?
Lori Thomas.
Hi, everyone. Lori Thomas for the Garden Club. I wanted to say what a pleasure it was to work with the owners and with Jonathan on this design. As a pedestrian, I was a little concerned about a hedge, you know, giving me a wall of green instead of some views of the building. But I think the solution they've come up with is just perfect. And I am very excited to see how this garden is planted and flourishes this summer. So thank you.
Margaret Picorni?
I just want to second what Lori said, that Susan spent an awful lot of time on this, and I think the results and the choice of plant material that the landscape architect has chosen are really going to be beautiful. Also, this garden gave us a chance to delve deeply into rabbit-proof plant material, which has become a very big issue in the formal Back Bay gardens. So we're going to do a rabbit-proof plant list, and we will make this available to the commissioners, but we're also going to try and publicize that as a way to make sure that people are planting things that will not be devoured. So we thank everybody at Zero Marlboro for their collaborative view of this process. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Susan Jureski.
Hi, I just want to second what Lori and Margaret said, and it was a pleasure working with Jonathan and the owners. And I think that the three new proposed trees are unusual trees and will really add to the landscape in the Back Bay.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
Jeannie Thorndike.
I just wanted to say I'm the owner, and it has been a pleasure to work with the Back Bay Garden Club and meet new neighbors and really come up with a wonderful plan that I think will work and be rabbit proof, most importantly. So thank you very much for your support.
Thank you, Jeannie.
All right, I think that's all of our public comment.
All right, great. Well, let's go back to the motion. John.
Okay, I move approval and thank everybody for their perseverance.
Second.
All right. Kathy Connor?
Yes.
Gina Dimitriadis?
Yes.
Tom Hyde?
Yes.
Andy Jampatera?
Yes.
John Christensen?
Yes.
Robert Weintraub?
Yes.
Tom Vinayer?
Yes.
David Sampson?
Yes.
And Susanna Gaspar.
Yes.
Great. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Move on to our next application. That is 362 Commonwealth Avenue, 23.0330. Is there someone here from 362 Commonwealth Avenue, please?
Yeah, if you could raise your hand. I didn't recognize any of the names here. If you're here to present for 362 Commonwealth Avenue. Just take a quick look to, again, see if I recognize. No, I'm not seeing anyone. Kathy, do you want to go to the next?
Yeah, I think we should, Joe.
All right.
So we'll move on to the next property, which is 302.
Great. Almost there. All right.
All right, 302 Beacon Street, application 23.0640. Is there someone here from 302 Beacon Street, please?
Mark Cutone, let me make you a co-host. No, Mark, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Okay.
Okay. And Joe is going to read the staff notes and the floor will be yours, Mark, okay? After that.
Thank you.
And Mark, is there anyone else from your team that I should make a co-host?
Yes, Doug Mills actually will be representing the application.
All right, I think he's a co-host, but let me just make sure. Oops. No, yeah, he should be a co-host. So I'll just start by saying that staff notes that 302 Beacon Street was constructed as a single family house in 1869 to 1870 and remodeled into its current appearance when it was converted into five apartments in 1932. I've included some related design guidelines for the residential area of the district for entryways, porticos, porches, and stoops, Front entry vestibules, porticos, and porches shall not be altered, removed, or enclosed. Front steps shall not be rebuilt or repaired in any material or configuration other than the original stone masonry or a modern substitute similar in texture and color. Penthouse design, proposals for new or renovated penthouses shall integrate with all building elevations. Appropriate materials include slate, copper, and standing seam metal. End walls, which abut party walls, shall be brick. Addition of a mansard to an existing mansard is inappropriate on the primary elevation. Parapet extensions to party walls and significant dimensional changes to chimneys are inappropriate. Roof decks, visibility of decks from any public way shall be minimal. Roof decks should be set back from the inward edge of the chimneys and kept as close to the roof as possible. Railings should be ornamental iron. Permanent opaque elevations such as screening and planters should not exceed railing height and should not be visible from a public way. This is kind of a complicated issue because the building was radically altered in 1932. So staff recommends approval with provisos, finding that the building was significantly altered in 1932. If possible, the existing entrance portico should be reused at the proposed location. The proposed roof deck railing should be a simple black steel or iron railing rather than the proposed glass railing, and the proposed skylight on the headhouse should be flat. The proposed penthouse should be made minimally visible from back street than currently proposed. At the rear elevation, the window openings at the upper story should be no further enlarged to preserve the masonry at this location. And I'll just show you, get this here. This is the building here that we're talking about. This is the portico that I had asked if it would be possible to move to the new location at the upper story. And then when I went to look at the mock-up, this is what I saw. And it's not clear to me if this is the proposed deck railing or if it's part of the penthouse addition. So with that, I'll turn it over to the design team. Just let me know when to go forward.
Okay, I just want to make sure you can hear me okay.
Yes.
Oh, great. Hi, my name is Doug Mills, representing Marcoteau and Architecture and our clients, Abby and Brett Gordon. And so there's a few exterior changes that we're looking to make on this structure. As you noted, Joe, we're looking to, instead of having the entrance at sort of subgrade level, we'd like to have an entrance that goes to the main floor, the first floor. So if you want to go to A2.1, I think that's probably the most impactful drawing. So as you can see on the, in the sort of the middle of the page there is where we're proposing our new entrance. And up and to the left is the existing elevation. So you can see the change there. What we did in terms of the design of the new entrance was we sort of took our cues from the existing architecture of the windows in terms of the trim and the treatment, just to have a fairly simple, straightforward entrance rather than the sort of ornate entrance that was going on before. We just like the simplified design. And then in terms of the head house, as you can see in the upper right-hand corner of this drawing, we've shown the sight line from across Beacon Street and that the head house won't be visible there. And then if you want to go to A2.5, you can actually see an expanded view of that. So looking again from across the street on Beacon Street, the sight lines won't allow you to see the head house. I think that's pretty fairly well illustrated.
What were the mock-ups that Joe were
showing? Oh yeah, so if you want to go to those pictures, Joe, I can explain what that was. The pictures that you had up of the mock-ups. So that lower line would be the guardrail. That upper line would be the top of the headhouse.
So it is visible from Back Street.
The headhouse is slightly visible from Back Street, yes.
Thank you.
Could you point that headhouse out in the section? I'm just trying to understand what that is in relation to the addition.
Yeah, so if we go back to A2.5. So I don't know if you can help me here, Joe, but the red is the outline of red is what's proposed. So the headhouse has the proposed sort of pyramidal skylight in it. So that's the, I don't know if you can zoom in, you can see the height of what that is. So it's proposed as 8'10" from the top of the roof for the headhouse.
So that point that you're marking up as 8'10" above the roof deck itself is what is being marked up on the...
Correct.
Okay. Because that doesn't seem to align with the sight lines to me.
No, it doesn't.
No, well, this is the view from Beacon Street. The other, I actually didn't provide a section looking the other way because I knew it would be visible from Back Street and we're relying on the mock-ups to show that.
Oh, I see. So two different conditions.
Correct.
What's the height of that penthouse?
It's 8'10".
Inside?
It's 8 feet inside, 8'10" outside.
And Joe referred to it in his comments as a penthouse, which implies occupiable space.
It's just a penthouse. It's just a headhouse. It's literally just landing at the top of the stairs, and then it's the rest of it is open to below.
Good.
So other exterior changes that would be visible, if you want to go to A2.2. Sorry, A2.2, not X. That's just all existing conditions.
Doug, can you confirm there's an elevator in the building or not?
There will be an elevator, yes.
Okay.
But there's enough head height on the top floor that we won't have a penthouse for that.
Good.
Okay, so on A2.2, again, Joe referenced that we were proposing the top two floors to make those windows larger. Again, we've provided the existing just to the left here so you can compare before and after. The approach we took was instead of having one large window in the middle and two narrower windows on flanking that, we went to three windows of the same size. And we thought that aligned pretty well with the second floor fenestration. And we thought it was fairly balanced and looked pretty good. So here again, you can also see the headhouse. Again, from the pictures that Joe showed, you can see that really only the top couple inches of the guardrail would be visible, and just a little bit of the headhouse would be visible from Back Street. The other change on this elevation down towards the bottom is the, so we're proposing a connector from the dwelling to the garage that's behind it. And on top of that, we're proposing a walkway. And as a result, we would have a door set in the existing bay window. Correct, that right there, yep. So another view where that is visible is A2.4, where we've provided a photograph of what it looks like today. So that photograph in the top left shows the side of the garage, and you can see the guardrail on top of the garage that surrounds the patio up there. And what we're proposing is from you can see the bay window in the background there. So we would have that walkway connector to go from the main living floor to the patio on top of the garage. So it's really just a you know, a way to connect the outdoor and the indoor space there. And you can see the impact there. Also on this drawing, you can see that the existing balcony on the third floor, or sorry, the second floor, has a rather large column that go, that's, it's gotta be about 20 feet tall that we're looking to remove and then have a very simple angled bracket back into the masonry. And I mean, in terms of things that would be visible from public ways, that's pretty much it. So I'd be happy to hear any comments that you have.
Mark, Rob Weintraub, since the penthouse addition is visible from Back Street, would you be amenable to removing the pyramid skylight and putting in a flat skylight? And certainly. You said it was 8'10". The code is 7 feet. If you lowered it a foot, you know, that would make it less visible. I'm not saying it won't make it visible at all, but I don't see any need to have that kind of ceiling height on a, what is simply a stairway access to the roof.
Yeah, we could certainly do that. I'm sorry, I didn't have my video going. Hi, hello.
I have no problem with any part of the application. We certainly have approved the catwalks and roof decks on in Back Street on top of garages and doing the bracket in lieu of the column and restoring the facade to its original condition by bringing it back up to the parlor level. These are all really, really nice things that you're doing. So as long as you can bring the penthouse down and put in a flat skylight, I think it's a nice application.
Thank you.
I would agree with Robert. You know, it's always difficult to know how you deal with a revised front facade. And I think in this case, what's being proposed, restoring the stoop is far more consistent with the streetscape. And it doesn't do violence to the rest of the 1932 design. I think actually that the way it's being proposed makes more, would be better than trying to preserve the portico, which is a little heavy. I think staying with the design of the rest of the building as is being proposed makes good sense. I did notice that the windows are being replaced in kind with multiple lights, but there's a reference to Pella. And last month we were told by somebody who was replacing the windows at 122 Beacon that Pella does not make true divided light windows. Will these
that's
be
not
true divided lights? Okay.
That's not true, Tom.
Well, okay. And also if I could just clarify, the existing windows are Pella and we would be replacing them with a true divided light. We were looking at LePage and a couple other companies. We just, you know, we want to get pricing in before we make a commitment, but it would be a wood true divided light being replacing the existing Pellas.
Excellent. And moving to the roof, Joe had mentioned, and I agree, that the glass railing is not appropriate, that a iron or steel black railing is what is directed by the guidelines. I also noticed that there's a privacy screen, and it looks to me like it's 6 feet tall. You've got a little man standing there and it goes up to his height. And I believe the guidelines specify that any sort of an opaque screen can be no higher than the railing heights, which would be about 42 inches.
I'm sorry, where were you seeing that?
It's on A2.3, I believe. The it shows the, that's it. Okay, if you go over to the, north side of the penthouse, there's privacy
screen. Yeah, so that's an existing privacy screen that's owned by the neighbor.
Oh, okay.
And there's actually, I don't know if there's a picture. No, I don't have a, actually you can see it in the picture at the bottom where that gray thing is. If you zoom in on that, Joe, you can see the part of it. Yeah, right there. Of course, I'm waving on it as if you can see my cursor, okay. But yeah, that's it right there. So that's okay.
We can argue with the neighbor when the time comes. Okay.
Yeah.
But you're okay with changing to the iron railings?
Yeah, that's fine.
Any other comments, commissioners?
What do you?
I have a question. For the back balcony, on the second level, are you keeping the depth or are you extending it?
Same depth.
The same depth. Okay, great.
What are you? What material are you constructing the stair in the front?
The stair in the front. So after some investigation of the materials of the portico, we found that that's not stone. It's actually concrete that's just painted to look like stone. So we could go either way. We could use limestone for the slope parts and the steps, and then it'll be brick on the sides, obviously. But you know, we'll certainly take your guidance, whether it's concrete or limestone for those steps.
Hey, Doug, do you have a lighting plan?
In terms of lights, the only thing we're anticipating at the moment is the two lights flanking the front door. And then there's one you can see on the stoop west elevation on this sheet that you're looking at right now. So there would be three sconces on the front.
Is the present entry is lower than the street?
Correct.
Yes.
You can see in the existing elevation, it's sort of dotted in at the bottom there.
All right. Are you, what are you going to do with the yard next to the steps?
So there, we will still have steps going down to the lower level. Yeah. So you can see it on this sheet here. So there will still be steps going down to a lower level. And there'll still be some area for plantings. And we got
some. Will you be coming back with a landscape plan?
Yeah, I mean, I really didn't have a lot of time to focus on the plantings. But we'd love to have some feedback from the Garden Club. I did get some feedback from Lori Thomas, who spoke to someone about what plants to recommend. So I did sort of fill in some plants, but I want to have a little more comprehensive plan in place.
And you're intending to put a gate, or I mean a fence around the yard?
There's already a gate there. I don't know if any of the pictures actually show it, but there's a gate around it already.
And what's the base on it?
Yeah, there you go.
The curb? What's the curb?
That's a good question. The curb, I think it's stone. I mean, it's hard to see in that. Let's see, on A2.1, that photo on the left, you can kind of see the lower level. It's hard to tell if it's concrete or stone.
Probably concrete.
Yeah.
What's the trim around the windows?
That's concrete as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're concrete frames. They're not stone.
On one of the windows, can we get back to the rear windows for a second? You mentioned that you wanted to make the upper two level windows larger.
Correct.
Do you know what the era of the existing windows? Is that the original or 1932?
No, every window in this house, with the exception of the large sort of modern ones at the balcony, are Pella windows. I went around and looked at each individual window myself and actually took pictures in case you needed to see it, where you can see the acid etch Pella in every one of them.
And the proportion of them or the size of them?
I'm sorry?
Just the size of them. I'm just wondering whether the existing brick around them is original or not. And by enlarging them, you're going to take out
you can see in the photo on this page that there's been some patching over time. So whether that's just been repointing or if there was some replacement, it's kind of hard to tell, but you can definitely see there's been patching.
It looks like it, doesn't it?
yeah, quite a bit of stuff.
Yeah, a lot going on back there.
Yeah, I'm finding the, you know, the four different levels fenestration really interesting, and I actually prefer the original, having the upper levels smaller and the brick wider. So I think that's a sort of a feature that is, you know, sort of simplified with the new design, new proportions, and taking out more of the brick.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's the, if you look at it in the context, which we don't have here, of the immediately abutting buildings, leaving the masonry, I think on the upper two floors would make sense, rather than widening it to make it all the same with the second floor window.
I agree with that.
Hey, Doug, I'm curious to understand what's driving the changes on the front side.
In terms of the entrance?
Yes.
So the way the interior of the building works currently, there's sort of a strange sequence, because at some point they divided this up into two units. So it currently exists as two apartments. So, you know, obviously they were trying to maximize their sellable square footage back in the day. So really we're just trying to get it back to a much more typical single family dwelling that, you know, that flows a lot better. You know, currently you go down into the lower level, and then there's an enclosed fire stair that brings you up to the different apartments. So it's really kind of claustrophobic. So we really wanted to get back to the original design. And actually, if you go, Joseph, back to A2.1, you can see the photos from 1885 and 1890 in the lower left-hand corner. So that's sort of what we're looking to get back to.
Got it. Thank you.
I'm ready to make a motion.
Great. Well, let's go to public comment. And then I may need to step away, Gina, just so you'll know once we go into public comment. Okay. Thank you. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you may press *9 to raise your hand, or you may send your questions via to staff via email at backbayac@boston.gov. Public comment will be limited to 2 minutes per person and should be focused on a project's exterior architectural features, which include landscaping. Issues related to use, street traffic, and noise are outside of the commission's purview.
All right, Sue Prindle.
Thank you very much. I really am impressed with the responsiveness of Doug. We had a lot of comments on this last week, and most of them, I think, have been taken to heart, and I think it's improved. I hope it's improved. One of the major concerns I had was the height of the head house, and I'm very pleased that will be coming down to a 7-footer. That makes a great deal more sense. We did support the true divided lights and the raising of the stoop, because given the context on the block, it seemed to make a great deal of sense to us. We agreed with those who did not support the enlarging of the windows in the back. There's something nice about that scale when it sort of goes off and gets smaller at the top, and it gives you a little bit of more of a shape than just having everything the same size. Garden plan can certainly come later, and I think Joe should have a look at the lights. The ones on the side look a little colonial to me, but I defer that to people who know more about things than I. But generally, I think it's an excellent addition to the neighborhood. Thank you.
Okay, I think we have Alice Murphy.
Hi there. First of all, I'm sorry. I'm from the member of the architecture committee. And I first of all wanted to say that I deeply appreciate Doug's willingness to get into conversation about the various details of this building. That's been very nice and welcome change from some other people. But I have to say that I usually don't think about these applications between meetings, but I've been persistently thinking about this for the last, since we had our meeting last week, only because I think in changing the stoop back to a raised stoop, we somewhat risk ending up with a hybrid that is neither 1932 nor 1860s, but some sort of peculiar love child of the two. And so I would just say that I would hope for a lot more detail in exactly what it's going to look like. How do the proportions, there's a very similar building next door to the east, and measuring that stoop and this one to see how they compare, seeing it in three dimensions. All of these things would be reassuring to make sure that what we're building is something that isn't going to look sort of odd. I agree that it's nice to have the rhythm of the stoop returned, but I also think that we have to be very careful that it doesn't end up being sort of funny looking. I think, and then my other thing is I also vote to keep the rear windows the scale they are. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Alice. Joe, I'm not seeing anyone else.
No, I'm just going to double check my email here. Well, I think that's the end of the public comment.
Rob, when you make the motion, will you include staff reviewing all details on the step and, you know, to come to a conclusion of what the final materials and how they're treated will be?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, I think we're ready to move to Robert for the motion then.
First, let me just apologize for my barking dog in the background. My motion is for approval with the following provisos: that the pyramid skylight be replaced with a flat skylight, that the penthouse addition not exceed 8 feet rough opening, which will give you a 7 foot finished opening on the inside. That the portico, per Joe's suggestion, not be carried to the parlor level, as per Tom's suggestion, would not be appropriate, be too thick. The iron railings to replace glass, so no glass railings. The windows to remain in their current fashion, and any replacements to be replaced in kind with wood, true divided light. And all other details regarding materials and further design changes to staff.
Rob, what about the widening of the windows in the back?
I said the windows would remain the way they are.
Ah, fine. Okay, thank you.
That was part of my motion.
I thought you were just talking about the front. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Rob. A second.
All windows remain the way they are. Okay.
All right, John, you seconded. So, Gina Dimitriadis?
Yes.
Tom High?
Yes.
Andy Champaterra?
Yes.
John Christensen?
Yes.
Rob Weintraub?
Yes.
Tom Vinayer?
Yes.
David Sampson?
Yes.
And Susanna Gaspar?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. So,
thank you all very much.
Have a good night.
Do you want to check if anyone from 362 Commonwealth arrived?
Yeah, is there anyone for 362 Commonwealth Avenue to present? I still don't see anyone's name here who I've been corresponding with.
Okay, so
one person, hold on, let's see.
Anne-Marie Clark, is that right?
Yes. Anne-Marie, are you here to present for 362? Commonwealth Avenue?
You can unmute yourself now, right?
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes. Yeah.
Hi. We request to continue this to the next meeting.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, thanks for letting us know.
Thank you.
All right, so that brings us to
administrative review. Is that right?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. All right, do we have any questions on administrative review?
I'll make a motion.
Okay, great. All right, Joe, can we just call for the motion or do we have to ask for comment?
Did someone second? I didn't hear a second.
You have a second.
David, okay, thank you. All right, Gina Dimitriadis?
Oh, wait, yes. My motion, hang on, my motion was to approve, okay.
Oh, that's right.
Thank you.
No, we don't take public comment on administrative.
No, no, only if someone, you know, if someone did raise their hand, but typically okay. We don't. Yeah. All right, Tom High?
Yes.
Andy Champaterra?
Yes.
John Christensen?
Yes.
Rob Weintraub?
Yes.
Tanvi Nayar?
Yes.
David Sampson?
Yes.
And Susanna Gaspar?
Yes.
Great.
Okay, so that brings us to the ratification of the minutes, is that correct?
Correct.
So both January 11th and February 8th, should we do it separately?
We can
do one, but not the other.
Yeah, we can do them separately, that's fine.
Do you have a motion for January 11th, 2023?
I'll make the motion to approve.
Do you have a second?
Second.
John, okay. Gina Dimitriadis?
Yes.
Tom High?
Abstain. I wasn't here. I wasn't a commissioner. I was here, but I wasn't a commissioner.
Andy Champaterra?
Abstain as well.
John Christensen?
Yes.
Rob Weintraub?
Yes.
Tanvi Nayar?
Same.
David Sampson?
Yes.
And Susanna Gaspar?
Yes.
Okay, a motion for the approval of the February 8th minutes.
I have one question.
Okay.
The application for the posts with a horizontal circle design, could you clarify that?
We simplified the posts and eliminated. There were vertical circles and horizontal circles. So we eliminated the vertical circles, I believe.
Yeah, as I recall, this says horizontal, I think.
Let me double check that. Well, I can double check that and we can take a look at it.
Or eliminate the circles, that's two. I don't know.
I think we were keeping one set. I think it was the horizontal set. So maybe I wrote it incorrectly.
That is correct. Yes, I remember that.
There, so we can, with that correction.
Okay, so make that correction.
Is that approval?
Okay, so then a motion.
What's that?
So in making the motion to approve?
Yes. I'll make the motion. There you go. John made the motion to approve. I'll second.
All right. Okay. And Gina Dimitriadis?
Abstain.
Yep. Tom High?
Abstain.
Andy Champaterra?
Abstain.
John Christensen?
Yes.
Rob Weintraub?
Yes.
Tanvi Nayar?
Abstain.
David Sampson?
Yes.
And Susanna Gaspar?
Yes.
Right. So do you have enough? Was that only four?
Oh, yeah, no, that's fine. Okay.
Okay, and then any staff updates?
No, I don't think so. I think, we're still waiting to get the official word about extending the remote virtual hearings, and we're still operating that will happen and be extended, and it may be extended as far as 2025 was the last that I heard, but nothing has been formalized yet. And that's it. And again, welcome to our new commissioners.
Great.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
Welcome.
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 Great. So does that bring us to the end?
Yes. Yep. Oh, wait.
There's one question. From Mariana.
Hello, I am one of the owners on 282 Newbury Street. It's the first time that I attend one of these meetings, and I wanted just to check, because I probably missed, the application regarding our building was not discussed today. Is that correct?
It was. It's an administrative review approval item, so it has been approved.
Because we are not even aware of what is all about. We received from the city of Boston a notice like a couple of weeks ago that this application is going to be discussed today.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to talk with you offline, but it's already been approved.
Okay, because I attended the meeting today, but we don't even know what it's all about.
Yeah.
Yes, if you don't mind, if you could explain to me what was going on and what it's all about, I would really appreciate it.
It was the replacement of 10 non-historic windows.
Is there a specific unit on which, do we have any more information about it?
I can get that to you tomorrow.
Okay. So do you want me to stay online and I can give you some additional information?
That'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. I think with that, if someone wants to make a motion to adjourn.
I made the motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right. Excellent. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thanks, everyone. And Mariana, please stay on and I'll get your information.
Okay, bye now.
Thank you. Bye.